Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurabani Pracharine Nirveshesha Sunyavari Pastachade Sitarine Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurathase Namaha Anandalila Maya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divyachabhi Sundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasa Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So this morning I'm happy to be serving all of you by talking about what would hopefully be the last part of the teachings of Queen Kunti, or the prayers of Queen Kunti. So I beg your permission and the permission of my Guru and guidance from my Guru and Parampara to use me to preach to everyone, because I myself am not qualified. So Maharani Kunti, the last time we talked about her, we started with a short introduction, and if you don't mind, I'll do it again, just a short introduction. So Maharani Kunti was born to Maharaj Shuddha Sen, but she did not stay at Maharaj Shuddha Sen's palace to be raised, because Maharaj Shuddha Sen's cousin, who was also a king, Maharaj Kunti Bhoja, was childless. And so Prita, that was the first name that she was named, Prita, was given to him to raise at his palace. And so it was Maharaj Kunti Bhoja that changed Prita's name to Kunti. Later on in her life, she married Maharaj Pandu and had five children, the Pandavas, but actually there was a sixth child. The first child wasn't actually the sixth child. The first child was Radheya. Later on, he was called Karna. So he was one that was born first, and then the other children came up later. So Maharani Kunti really had six children. Karna died in the Kurukshetra War from the hands of Arjun, because he was trying to fight Arjun and try to kill Arjun. Arjun, one of the children, the Pandavas. And so when Krishna literally supervised this whole Kurukshetra War to remove evil and Maya from the face of the earth at the time, and Karna died, Kunti was with her children at the time Krishna was preparing to leave. And when he was preparing to leave Hastinapur to go back to Dwarka, was when Kunti was thinking back at all that had happened. And Kunti also knew, based on relationship, that Krishna was really her nephew. It was actually an arrangement for Krishna's Leela to come at that time to be Kunti's nephew. But Kunti was well aware that Sri Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in her prayers, she really described all kinds of things that the Supreme Lord had done and how much mercy she had shown to her, and he had shown to her and to her children. And so her prayers were in appreciation of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great mercy and the love that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had for his parts and parcels, the fact that at the time that they were in Hastinapur, they were going to stay in Hastinapur and Krishna was leaving, that he was going to be missed by them out of love that they had for him. And she was also talking about the protection that Sri Krishna had given to her children and herself. And she was wondering how things would be after he had left to go to Dwarka. But of course, the Lord is there. The Lord is in the heart of everybody. So yes, he was leaving as part of his Leela, but he really wasn't leaving, because he's always in his future as Paramatma with everyone. Everyone. That includes Kunti and the Pandavas too. In any case, still, Maharaj Kunti was extremely appreciative and wanted to describe Sri Krishna's powers as best as he could to everyone that was present. And we're fortunate that that's also been recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, now in the first canto and 8th chapter. And so now we are at 1830, text 30. So the translation is, this is Maharani Kunti speaking. Of course it's bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, and that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend among animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. So Maharani Kunti is thinking about how Krishna unfolds different leelas, and even the different species of the 8,400,000 type species, Krishna takes form like them, those species. And Maharani Kunti is also saying, you work though you are inactive. You take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. As far as taking birth, Lord Brahma supports that also in the Brahma Samhita. Anadi Adil Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. You have no beginning yourself, Sri Krishna, but you are the beginning of everyone and everything. And you are the cause of all causes. First two lines, Ishwara Parma Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. So Krishna is in fact the supreme controller of all controllers. And he is eternality, he is full knowledge, and so his body is also blissful. He is blissful all the time. The pastimes, whether he's fighting, whether he's loving, it's all the same in terms of the potency, and it's all the same in terms of the fact that he's having lila. Each one of them he does, he enjoys. So his body is always eternal, full of knowledge, and blissful. In the purport of this text, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering, but it seems like they are contradictory sometimes. While they are not contradictory, that's the Lord's pastimes, the Srila Prabhupada goes on to say that it may seem contradictory, which is apparently contradictory, because they are all inconceivable to our limited thinking power. Our means the human beings. The Lord is the all-pervading super soul, yet he appears in the form of a boar among the animals, that is Lord Varaha. He appears in the form of a human being like Ram and Krishna. He appears in the form of Rishi with Arjun, like Nara Narayan, Arjun being Nara and Krishna being Narayan. And he appears in the form of an aquatic, like a fish, the Lord called Matsya. So he appeared in all these circumstances. But it is said that he is unborn and he has nothing to do. So, and the Shruti Mantra also supports that the Lord, Supreme Brahman, has nothing to do. So he has manifold energies, many, 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 many forms of energies. And everything is performed perfectly by him, by automatic knowledge, by strength and activity. But that's activity when he wants to be active. He doesn't have to do anything. As a matter of fact, this reminds me of one situation that Srila Radha Maharaj related in one of his lectures that I heard online. He said there was a Prabhu, the guy that became interested in Krishna consciousness. He wanted to know about God.
He wanted to know about God. So he went to different churches first. And then as he learned what he learned, he wasn't satisfied. So then he came to the Vaishnav setting. Then he looked at the temples. And he looked at the different things. He looked at the different demigods, trying to find out who really was God. And so he looked at them, obviously, by looking at the murtis. And he studied what the murtis were holding, what their temperament or their stature was like, what kind of message that the murtis were projecting by how the murtis had been made. For example, Durga and the weapons that she was holding and so on. And so she said, and he concluded that they all seem to be doing something that involves work. So you see the fighting spirit in Durga because of what she's wearing and also the weapons that she's holding, what she's wearing around her neck, that is a skull and so on. And she looks at other things about the murti, and then she looks at other murtis, and there is always some kind of weapons involved. There's a conch shell, there's this, there's that, there's that. And the only one she looked at that convinced him was the murti of Krishna, because Krishna had a flute. So in his own material mind, he made the conclusion that all the other murtis that I've seen, they can't be God, because they all seem to be doing some work. They all seem to be ready to fight. They all seem to have this and that, weapons. But Krishna doesn't have any weapon. He's just holding a flute and playing. So Krishna is just having fun. And God should be able to have fun and not have to do anything. And so this one that's playing the flute, that must be God. So he concluded that way, just from the flute and the fact that Krishna was just having a good time. And that's what he expected God to be doing, having a good time. He says, well, the murti of Krishna, that must be Krishna. That must be God. So then he concluded that Krishna is God just from looking at the murti and the flute. So in a similar way, this is being said here. Krishna has nothing to do. Supreme Brahman has nothing to do. But he does things because of his love for his parts and parcels, because of his love for the demons also. We say he kills the demons, but he kills and they get liberated. So if he didn't love the demons, he wouldn't liberate them, but he does. Which means he loves all his parts and parcels, because after all, the demons are his parts and parcels too. Every being has a super soul in that particular type of body. So everything is possible in him, Srila Prabhupada concludes here. It is bewildering sometimes to those who see Krishna's pastimes, and those of us who hear about Krishna's pastimes. For example, in Mathura, when Kamsa was looking to try to get rid of Krishna, and Krishna was looking to try to get rid of Kamsa so that people in Mathura can have some peace, he and Balaram came to Mathura, and Kamsa had arranged a wrestling match, very, very big and strong wrestlers, Chanur, Mushtika, and so on. And at the time, by Krishna and Balaram's own will, they were growing up, they were smaller, much smaller in size, and they were younger also. Growing up, they were just not that old. And of course, the wrestlers were big, strong, grown men. Initially, the crowd protested, because it seemed so unfair. They were protesting together, shouting basically for Kamsa to hear that you're having these big, strong wrestlers fight two, apparently very young looking, not that strong boys. That wrestlers should fight their own size, not little boys. So that's how the crowd wanted, but obviously Kamsa wasn't going to pay attention to that, this demon that he was. So the crowd initially protested, but Kamsa wanted the wrestlers to destroy the two lords, Krishna and Balaram. You all know what happened. In the end, they were the ones that died. So, by looking, sometimes in thinking through thinking through some of the pastimes, it's obvious that no one can calculate Krishna exactly. Every action of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada is saying, is bewildering to the common man. So he cannot be understood, not even by Vedic knowledge. Some people just study the Vedas, not in a mood of being a servant, but a mood of just understanding. In other words, they study it from a philosophical standpoint, from an academic standpoint, but he cannot be understood that way. Srila Prabhupada said he can easily be understood by the pure devotees because they are intimately related with him. And about that comes another story, this time involving Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master. So there was a time that a man came to see him, and that man knew about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami's prowess in knowledge. He was a very, very highly knowledgeable person. He was a scholar, but he was also very, very humble and Krishna conscious, and a pure devotee of the Lord. So this man came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami to discuss high philosophy about the Vedas. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, knowing what the man was really aiming at, and he himself being so merciful, he decided to actually give real Krishna consciousness to this man. So then he decided that he was not going to discuss any philosophy with him, but he told the man to go to see the pujaris, who were at that time working on paraphernalia of the Lord in the pujari room. At first, the man thought that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami did not understand why he had come. So then the man said again that, but I have actually come to discuss Vedas with you, the philosophy. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, yes, I understand, but go to the pujaris first. So then the man went. And when he went to the pujaris, he told them that, you know, Goswami Maharaj has asked me to come to you. And my aim was really to talk to him about the Vedic philosophy. And the pujari said, well, this is what we're doing. We're cleaning the Lord's paraphernalia. So you join us to clean the Lord's paraphernalia. And after that, then we'll see what happens. Because after all, Goswami Maharaj has asked you to come here. So the man, still not understanding what was going on, he decided to play along with it. So he also started cleaning and doing what some of the pujaris were doing, cleaning the Lord's paraphernalia. So he stayed with them till they were finished. It didn't take too long. They were finished cleaning. And after finishing cleaning, he thanked the pujaris. He didn't ask them anything. He left the pujaris. But then one would think he would go back to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. No, he decided he wanted to go home. Because at the time that he was cleaning, everything that he had that he wanted to discuss about Vedic philosophy was answered to him. Not through the pujaris, but the Lord arranged for the answers to come to him. And so when he finished, he didn't go to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami either. He wanted to just leave. But then Maharaj saw him leaving. And then he called him. He said, after he called him, did you get the answers that you wanted when you went to the pujaris? And the man said, yes, I did. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj already knew that there was no discussion of high philosophy with the pujaris. So then he told the man, it is not through this kind of discussion that you become Krishna conscious. But it is when you put your heart into what you're doing in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you cannot have just Vedic, intelligent, philosophical discussion to get to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but intimate relationship with Him and full service and surrender of one's heart and everything they have to the Lord is in fact the way in which the Lord can be understood and appreciated and related to. In Bhagavad Gita 10:10, chapter 10, text 10, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam vajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogantam yena mam upayantite. The translation is, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is the text by which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami's actions are shown here. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love. So he asked the man, go to the pujaris, because they will have him serve the Lord, serve him without getting anything back from him, expecting anything back from him, materially that is, but at the same time, when he obeyed, then the Lord gave him the mercy of answering his questions. So to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So the Lord can in fact let anyone come to them, to him, but they have to be willing to serve from their hearts. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, to serve Guru and also to serve the devotees. So the next one from Marani Kunti is, my dear Krishna, your shoulder took a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your disturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you are afraid, even though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. So again, Maharani Kunti is remembering one of the pastimes of the Lord that is quite bewildering, and she's comparing when the Lord was actually crying out of fear, and she's thinking that is bewildering because fear personified is afraid of Krishna. So she first recounted or remembered the pastime where Mother Yashoda took a rope to bind Krishna, and under this chapter, which is chapter 14 in Teachings of Queen Kunti, it's entitled The Lord Krishna's Wonderful Activities. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport here that here's another explanation of the bewilderment created by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord created bewilderment in many, many, many ways. And those who were with him in Gokul saw how he got rid of different demons, and how young that he was. In fact, not only just young, he started as a baby getting rid of demons, Putana being the first one. And at that time, nobody thought that Krishna himself got rid of Putana. They just thought that he was protected by the Supreme Lord in a very, 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 very serious circumstance that he could have been easily killed. That's what they were thinking. But then, of course, the Lord is all-pervading and all-powerful, and it was he who sucked the life air through the breast of Putana. And then, as he got a little older, especially in the situation of lifting Govardhan Hill, that was very, very, very bewildering. They could not believe it, these cowherd men, especially after the story, the whole pastime had unfolded, and he had saved everyone in Vrindavan. They talked about it for quite a while. They even went to Nanda Maharaj, but I wouldn't really relate the story because I did that the last time. But just basically telling him, who is this Krishna? They began to wonder. So Krishna's pastimes are quite bewildering from a material standpoint. But Krishna can do everything. And so he brings out his greatness in the way he excites the devotees, and also brings out his greatness in the way he gets rid of seemingly impossible, really, 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 really strong demons who couldn't be gotten rid of in any kind of way. But Krishna always takes care of them. So The Supreme Lord, Srila Prabhupada says, he accepts the loving service of his devotees more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection, without anything of reverential admiration. So what this means is, the Lord really, really loves accepting the service of his devotees when they serve him out of affection and not so much out of awe and reverence. That's why in Goloka Vrindavan, it's all based on service out of pure affection, out of spontaneous affection. They do service spontaneously, and they serve each other because the final service goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the devotees in Goloka Vrindavan love and serve each other in such a way that the final service comes to satisfy, or goes to satisfy, Krishna's senses. They are there, and their love for him is why they serve him, and they serve him spontaneously without thinking him to be God. Whereas in the other Vaikuntha planets, the Lord as Narayan is served out of awe and reverence. So that is the situation in Goloka Vrindavan. And the Lord himself is very, very pleased, as Srila Prabhupada says, meticulously pleased when the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. Mother Yashoda was doing that, not realizing that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in fact, she and Nanda Baba never actually believed that the Lord of all there is was in fact Krishna at their house. They never believed that. They knew that he was the greatest object of affection. Everyone was talking about Krishna, and they were very fortunate to have Krishna at their house. They were not selfish. Krishna was always relating to all the cowherd men, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, as well as the cowherd women. And even when they wanted, the women wanted some kind of relationship with them, that they wished that he was their son, Krishna arranged to bewilder Lord Brahma so that Lord Brahma would take the cowherd boys and the calves and hide them, so Krishna would get an opportunity to look like them and expand himself to be like them and go to the homes of the cowherd mother so they could relate to him. For a whole year he allowed that to happen because they desired to serve him out of their hearts too. So Krishna allowed that to happen. So it is wonderful to relate to relate in Krishna consciousness. And those of us like me, I know I'm Kanishta, but we should still consider ourselves very fortunate because of the mercy of Guru and Krishna to be in this particular path. So Krishna loves it. Like, for example, when his friends consider him to be one of them, and this is the way the cowherd boys look at him. They don't consider him to be of reverential importance. All they know is that they love him dearly, and when he's around, the pastimes that they go through are wonderful, and the Lord is their hero. That's what they know. The parents of the Lord, who are all pure devotees, Nanda Baba and Yashoda Mataji, they consider him a child only. And so then the Lord knows that the parental relationship is going to be wonderful, so he accepts the chastisement of the parents when they punish him. And Srila Prabhupada says that the Lord accepts the chastisement of the parents more cheerfully. He likes that more than even when their prayers on the Vedic hymns are sung in his honor. He likes this simple relationship where the spirit devotees are serving him out of love in the different rasas, the different relationship. Even when his cowherd girlfriends, they reproach him. In other words, that they get at him, get on his case, the way they say in America. They get on his case. Or they say some things to warn him about things that they're not happy about. Krishna accepts that more. And many times he gets into loving debate with the cowherd girls. Many of that is in the Shastra, in Garga Samhita, and different places. Definitely a Krishna book that is also there, and Nidya Ujjayinimani, so many books that talk about that, that have recorded the pastimes between the gopis and Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani. And even when Srimati Radharani gives Krishna a hard time, Krishna actually relishes that more. That there are times, now make this short, that there is a pastime about to unfold. And of course the gopis and the manjaris, they all prepare for the event to assist the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They would dress Radha wonderfully, but then, and then some are with Krishna, and Krishna's waiting, and Radharani is not coming. Radharani won't show up, and Krishna is left waiting, and the gopis get anxiety about it, but a spiritual anxiety. Why wouldn't Radharani come? And so it takes a while, and finally Radharani shows up. Now internally they are very connected, because it's the same Supreme Personality of Godhead that split into Radha and Krishna. And so Krishna really, really, really enjoys the pastimes when Radharani seems to put it at a certain level of anticipation. And Krishna loves that. So then he does that. And waiting patiently, and Radharani making sure that Krishna waits more before she actually shows up and the pastime actually begins. But then Krishna also sometimes disappears, and now Radha gets into anxiety. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? The gopis start looking for Krishna. So many, many, many things actually unfold. And I'll tell one more thing, which is from the Garga Samhita. So Garga Muni is describing that sometimes, and not all times, because you never know what Krishna is going to do from one thing to another, from one situation to another. Sometimes, when they go through, or they plan, and this is the planning part, of when they plan the Rasa dance, when they're getting ready to do a wonderful dance and music in the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna sometimes allows the whole dance to take place in the Vrindavan forest, it's the 12 forests, whichever one they choose, from the forest itself and the forest's beauty, the flowers and so on. But there are other times, too, as Garga Muni says, that he will manifest, he will literally manifest what looks like Dwarka, a whole city, in the forest at night. So that now they enjoy the pastimes, but in a city type of arrangement, even though it's still in the forest. So Krishna can manifest that, and then they have a pastime in that way, like they are in the city. And after that relationship is over, the pastime is over, then he can withdraw, and he does withdraw that particular scene that they were in, and then the next morning, the Vrindavan forest looks like a regular forest. So all of that goes on, which means the gopis were in great anticipation of what was going to happen in the night in the forest, because you don't know whether Krishna would actually, you know, you don't know what the scene is going to be like. Sometimes they prepare. They have flowers, you know, and arrangements, all kinds of things that are done. But they know that they are serving Krishna, and Krishna can change the scene at any time as he likes. And so they don't know what to expect. And that is part of the excitement, even before the Rasa dance itself begins. Now, so next one, there's so much to talk about, actually. In this text alone, it can take, you know, forever, the different pastimes of Krishna and how bewildering that is. So the gopis, actually, when they have the Rasa dance, sometimes they get quite bewildered about even the arrangement, the setting. Because Krishna will come, but who knows how it's going to be like from one day to another. And it's also said in the Shastra that the gopis compose songs. They're very, very intelligent. Very, very intelligent. We say ordinary cowherd girls, that's what they think of themselves. But you know, they're actually pure devotees. And pure devotees have all knowledge. Soul has all knowledge. They would compose songs on a daily basis. So if there's an evening time they're going to dance, the songs are new. But of course, Krishna knows everything, so he sings right along with it. And it's a very wonderful and pleasant activity. And sometimes, this is from Ujjal Nirmani, sometimes in the middle of a dance, one gopi will be very inspired to come up with very intricate and new steps, dance steps that nobody has seen. And she gets in the middle of the circle and she starts with this very intimate and wonderful steps, and everybody just moves to the side of the circle and forms a circle around and gives much room to this particular gopi. And then the gopi will just display the dance steps that she has come up with. And Radha and Krishna watch it, and of course after she's finished, they all clap, well done, and so on. So much of anticipation is there for the Rasa dance, because at every time that they have the dance, the setting may be different depending on what Krishna wants to do. And what happens, the songs are new songs, and wonderful songs, and also the events themselves from Krishna, and events, how it unfolds, the dance unfolds from the gopis themselves. So everything is, you just anticipate what's going to happen, but you never really know, because it's always wonderful and always fresh, and something about it is always new. Anyway, we never left off a tangent, but anyway, come back to the teachings of Queen Kunti. So Maharani Kunti says, in this next text, it says that others say that both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, and you have taken birth as their son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn, yet you take birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. So, here, Maharani Kunti, this is Srimad Bhagavatam 1833. Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada is describing in the purport that Vasudeva and Devaki, in their previous birth as Sutapa and Prishni, they did severe penances to get the Lord as their son. This is actually what happened. They did. They were around fire. They were on one standing on one leg. So many things they did to pray for the Lord to come as their son. And as a result of such austerities, the Lord appeared as their son. Actually, he appeared as their son on more than one occasion. Even in Gaura Lila, Lord Chaitanya was born to them also. So, in Gaura Lila, it's the same souls. Even in Aditi and Kashyapa, there's also the same souls that are Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, same souls that appeared in different pastimes to play the role of the son. Okay. So, then Aditi and Kashyapa gave birth to Vamanadeva, the Lord as a dwarf. Excuse me. So, it is declared in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada saying that the Lord appears for the welfare of all the people, and also to vanquish or kill, remove the asuras and the materialistic atheists. So Maharani Kunti, again, is continuing. She's continuing with other things that happened in the past times of the Lord. She says in the next Shloka, others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. And of course, this happens quite a bit. Lord Brahma and the demigods, when the demigods feel the trouble is around the corner, or they begin to feel real trouble, they go to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma would go to the ocean of milk in Svartadvipa, the island, and then he would actually pray and ask the Lord, describe what's going on. Of course, the demigods always start with their prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead first, and that is standard. Pure devotees and the demigods both do not ask any favor from the Lord without first praying to the Lord and establishing in their minds and saying to the Lord about the Lord's greatness first, and then they request. Okay, so then Lord Brahma would request, and whatever happens is usually the plan that eventually saves the demigods from the kinds of trouble that the demons would give to them. So this has been going on. This is one of the general statements made by Kunti Maharani, that when the world is overburdened, then Brahma, who is your son of Garbhodaksha and Vishnu, prays to you, and you've appeared to diminish the trouble. So on this text it says, lightening the burden of the world. So the Lord Brahma is born from the abdomen of Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu is known as Padmanabh because of that birth that way. And Brahma is known as Atmabhu because he was begotten directly from the father without any contact of Mother Lakshmi. Lakshmi was present, yet, you know, and engaged in the service of the Lord. Still, Narayan begot the Lord as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu begot Lord Brahma. So that's the omnipotency of the Lord, and the fact that the Lord does not need anyone. He can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do. So the Lord is not an ordinary living being, and we are always being told, we have to be aware of that at all times. He is the personality of Godhead, the supreme personality, and he has all the potencies of the senses in all parts of his transcendental body. So we beget children by sex life, of course, but the Lord can beget whoever he wants to beget, or whatever he wants to beget, from any part of his body at any time. So this is part of what Lord Brahma is one praying, but this is part of what Lord Maharani Kunti is saying about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how bewildering and how much of a personality that's always there for his devotees. Now, and then Maharani Kunti continues, yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from the material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. So this is also part of the reason that the Lord appears. By his mercy, he appears to set the record straight that connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is through devotional service in the nine processes, some being hearing, remembering, and worshipping. And Srila Prabhupada has said many times that the factual way of religion, as he says in the purport, the factual way of religion, the real fact about religion is to accept the Lord as a supreme authority and render service to him in spontaneous love. And this is what the living being is made constitutionally for. This is the living being's duty. It's what they have to do. Now, when one does not do that, then one can never cross the ocean of nations and get free from the threefold miseries of material life. And that is the law of nature. So, Maharani Kunti continues, O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So, Maharani Kunti is saying that this is how those who are in this material world can stop the repetition of birth and death. So she's making a statement about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how to connect with him. And so she says, if you continuously hear and you continuously chant, as in this age we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we continuously chant and also hear the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the lessons that we have to learn in order to connect in purification, then we will see the lotus feet of the Lord, and the repetition of birth and death can also stop. So, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of Godhead. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says we shouldn't see with our eyes, we should see with our ears. When we hear, and he always stresses that the first thing to do is to hear, because hearing increases our faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we hear, then by doing what we've heard to do, I mean we've heard that we should do, then the Lord can be understood. Then the Lord can be connected with. So there were materialists like Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, Kansa, Jarasandha, Shishupal. They were all qualified personalities by dint of what they had for material assets. But their mistake through all of their lives were they were not able to appreciate the Lord even when he was present. So Srila Prabhupada is making the point that even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. And this necessary vision and qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord, but not just hearing, but hearing from the right sources. So there are people who have actually memorized the Vedas, and they can say it out as a recitation, and it may sound very impressive how much they have learned and how much they are able to recite and in correct meter and everything. But if their heart is not that of devotional service, rendering devotional service, then it is useless to hear from these people, and there's hardly any kind of benefit, spiritual benefit, that one gets from such unauthorized persons. So no matter how well learned they are, they don't follow the principles of devotional service. Therefore, hearing from them, Srila Prabhupada says, is a sheer waste of time. Therefore, what should one do? We have to select a competent and a bona fide speaker, and then hear from that speaker. The speaker that is connected by his guru to the parampara. Then the hearing is perfect and complete. And then other processes that come would come automatically in service, and they'll be perfect in their own way also. All be acceptable, even if we don't do it perfectly. As in Kali Yuga, we don't do anything perfectly, but because we do an offering to our guru, then it gets purified that way. This is why when we're having a puja, the pujari first offers to his or her spiritual master, and then on up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead eventually. So then when the offering is done that way, then it is in fact purified. So Maharani Kunti continues, O my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us? Now when all kings are at enmity with us. So now Maharani Kunti is looking at the situation of herself and the Pandavas, her children. And Krishna, if you look at it from the physical level, appears to be leaving to go to Dwarka. And that's what outwardly it seems that it's happening. But is the Lord really leaving? The Lord is always in our hearts. But Kunti's expression is about missing the Lord. And this is also what happens when he leaves the gopis. They miss him dearly. The gopis also know that Krishna is with them in their hearts. But then when they don't see him, because he makes himself available to them to have pastimes with them, then they get into anxiety. But that's spiritual anxiety. So that's what Maharani Kunti is expressing. There are all these kings around. She is saying that she's sure that they have made enemies. She and the Pandavas have made enemies because these kings have been killed, and our princes have become kings, and others have become kings, and some of them are related to those who died in the Kurukshetra war. And it's because of the Pandavas, and they are successful. And now, isn't it possible that these kings who are now related to those who died, isn't it possible that the kings will become upset? They're already upset that their relatives who were kings have died, and other soldiers have also died. So then Mayana Kunti is saying, what's going to happen when you leave? But actually, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the Pandavas are fully surrendered. And so this chapter is about full surrender. Everything. Manasa Deho Geho, I give you, as the song goes, myself, my house, everything that I have goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is a sign for us that this is the way we should be serving. Everything that we have, we should pray to come up with ways in order to use what we have now, because the Lord has given to us. Use those things to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead the whole time. And we should always, as Rupa Goswami says, remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And also accept things that, when we're accepting them, we should be convinced it will help our devotion service. That's why we accept them. And if it's definitely a thing that's coming out from Maya, then that's unacceptable and we should reject those. And that's how we should live our lives. So, in the next test, Mayana Kunti again is praising Krishna by saying, all these cities and villages, they are flourishing in all respects. There are herbs and grains in abundance. The trees are full of fruits. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals. And the oceans are full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. So now Mayana Kunti is appreciating how things are working so well because of the presence of Krishna and Krishna's love and mercy. So Srila Prabhupada says here, there is natural prosperity. It doesn't have to come from this type of automated industrial type enterprises that we have now. Srila Prabhupada specifically says that human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. Actually, when we think about it, none of these enterprises will amount to anything if they didn't have the raw materials that the Lord supplies. Nothing can be produced without having some things to start with. And the things that they start with are always naturally things that have been produced here by the Lord's mercy and the Lord's powers and the Lord's energies. So even these gigantic industrial enterprises can only operate by the Lord's mercy, by what is present here. We take this planet Bhumi on the earth that they use to get anything started, to produce anything different. So actually all of these industries, whatever they're doing, is just simply changing one form to another, one form of what's natural to another, and then using that and selling it. So that's all this, they do just energy conversion, that's all they do. But the natural gifts are grains, vegetables, fruits, then the rivers which supply the water, the hills which have the jewels and the minerals, and the seas which supply pearls. And this is all by the order of the Supreme. And that's real wealth. And not this, that what we're now doing, and make even worse, having slaughterhouses that kill poor animals. So all of this, this is Kali Yuga, of course, and we're doing life, you know, we're living life, you know, upside down practically, because of the way we don't look at natural things but come up with artificial things, just tiny change, and then of course we suffer the consequences of it, because everything comes back to haunt us later on in our physical bodies or the things around us, by all kinds of sickness that now people go through because of all of these unnatural things that have been produced and we're living with. So Mayana Kunti continues, O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So this reminds me of Lord of Bhishma Dev, when he was also getting ready to leave his body. He wanted to direct his attention on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord gave him mercy by being present personally there, along with other sages and also the Pandavas, before Bhishma Dev, who had the boon of leaving his body whenever he wanted, left his body at that time. He wanted the Lord to be there. And Mayana Kunti is saying simply something similar. Let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So that is again another good sound spiritual advice to devotees. We should be always thinking of Krishna would I be introverted to anyone else? And if we think of something else, then that thing should be connected with service to Krishna. And that would give us unalloyed devotion to the Lord. Krishna says, Maharani Kunti continues, O Krishna, friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendants of Vishnu, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on the earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the Brahmins, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. Now, from the nature of this particular text here, I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, have probably come to the conclusion that this is the last text, and it is the last text, because Maharani Kunti summarizes everything she said, that you are the Almighty God, and therefore I am a servant, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Krishna, friend of Arjuna, chief among the descendants, destroyer of the political parties, which are, that is, the demons, which are disturbing elements on the earth, Krishna's power never deteriorates. You are, she says, he is the proprietor of everything, including the transcendental abode, and he comes to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. And, of course, he also removes the disturbing elements. All mystic powers are from the Lord and for the Lord, and the entire universe comes from the Lord also. And everything that is in, that is created ever, is from the Lord. Therefore, he is Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the title is Enchantment by Krishna's Glories. And Srila Prabhupada starts, which shouldn't surprise anybody, by saying that a summary of the Supreme Lord Krishna is made herein by Srimati Kunti Devi. The Almighty Lord has his eternal transcendental abode, where he's engaged in keeping the Suravi cows. The Suravi cows, as Lord Brahma also has in Brahma Samhita, he's served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, and he comes to the material world to reclaim the devotees and to annihilate all disturbing elements in the material world. When he's called on to come, of course, he does his pastimes too. He removes the disturbing elements and the groups of political parties and kings who are in charge of administration. He creates, he maintains, and he annihilates by his unlimited energies and agents. And he's always full with prowess and never deteriorates in potency. The cows, Brahmins, and the devotees of the Lord are all objects of his special attention, because they are very important factors for the general welfare of living beings. So the Lord is actually self-satisfied, but because the cows, the Brahmins, and the devotees are the ones that elevate. They elevate the earth and other material planets also. Without them, the cows, the Brahmins, devotees, then life as we know it gets even much worse. Because these are the cows, Brahmins, and devotees, are the ones whose attention is mode of goodness to mode of transcendence. The cows are mode of goodness, Brahmins, and devotees, mode of transcendence. And therefore they elevate. Outside of that are mode of passion and mode of ignorance. And those bring down the general mood and the general aura, the general atmosphere in the planet, or on the planet. So, the so-called affection for family, society, country, they consist of different phases of sense gratification. So when this desire is changed for satisfaction of the Lord, using what's connected to us, family, society, and country, and so on, for the satisfaction of the Lord, then that is called devotional service, and that's what we should be about. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So thank you for tolerating me. Maybe Shyamala Sikar Mataji, we can have devotees unmute their phones and make comments or ask questions. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So anybody has comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Namat
Panam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
A very nice class, Prabhuji. So much we learned, you know, about devotees, Krishna, and, you know, gopis. Thank you so much. In your class, Prabhuji, you were mentioning that Krishna is in everyone's heart, so he's kind of equally equal to everyone, equally disposed to everyone.
Yes, yes.
But at the same time, also you were mentioning something about that we should not aspire to see him. We should aspire to serve him, you know, to... So in that case, we've heard that Krishna favors, devotees who remember him, who do devotional service to him. But then the first statement becomes a little bit, wrong in the sense that, like, everyone in this material world, you know, like, does not know about Krishna consciousness. They don't even know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so what would, in my eyes, what would those innocent souls, won't Krishna also favor them? And because he knows in their heart that this soul, you know, I'm living in this person's heart, but somehow this person is not, got in touch with devotees or the name of the Lord Krishna. So in that sense, shouldn't Krishna be equal to them also, who are I don't know whether you understand my question, but
I do.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Shouldn't Krishna be also equally disposed to them? Krishna is always equally disposed to everyone. Now, how we look at what's called equal disposal to everyone is what needs a little more explanation. And it looks, one of the analogies to give is like what the Avadhut Brahman learned, and that is from the sun. The sun gives sunshine. When the sun gives sunshine, he doesn't give the sun the sunshine more intensely on one part and less intensely on another part. The area that the sun is shining evenly. It's just the entities and their connection with the sun. So some of them would experience more sun, and some of them that have covered themselves would not experience the sun, but the sunshine is always there. So this is actually out of the free will of the people in general, that some of them choose to connect with him as devotees and some of them don't want to connect with him, and therefore not in devotional service, but therefore they wind up in connecting with him still, but through the material energy, which is a much more difficult life to live. So the Lord equally loves, but it is our part, because he's given us free will to be able to love him if we choose to, that is his transcendental energy, or to love his material energy and think that it's going to be the best way to live life, and hopefully in the end, after so many lifetimes, find out that in fact that is not the best way. Devotees, they are connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and devotees do their part to try to get others to connect the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But remember, the Lord actually wants us back home, out of the material world, and enjoying life for full knowledge, eternality, and bliss. That's what he wants. But because he doesn't push anybody, then those who say God doesn't exist, God is dead, I'm using the material energy, and all my solutions are going to come from material energy, the Lord's not going to stop them. So if we're fortunate by his causeless mercy to see him in the deity form, even now he's made available in the deity form, so that we can use our material senses to not only see him but also serve him, and serve him according to the instructions of a spiritual master, then in that sense we are most fortunate, and it's on us, the devotees, to give that kind of mercy to the rest of the world. Krishna himself came as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in India, and he toured India and excited people, and it was giving Krishna Prema freely. Krishna Prema is not easy to get, but he was giving it freely. Krishna Prema, when a person is at that level, he has purchased the Lord practically. And when the Lord is doing something and his devotee wants something else done because of his love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Lord adjusts his own activities to suit what the pure devotee of the Lord is asking for. Like in the case of Kurukshetra battle, he had already said that he didn't want to fight, but Bhishma wanted to see him fight. And so Bhishma tried to arrange to put Krishna in a situation where he would have to fight. Krishna didn't back away from it, even though his rule was, I'm not going to fight. And Bhishma already knew that. He knew that before the Kurukshetra war started, that Krishna wasn't going to fight. But in his heart, he wanted to see Krishna exhibit his prowess as a Kshatriya. And that's why he did that. Tried to put Krishna in a situation where Krishna would fight. But anyway, so he got ready to fight and didn't fight at the same time. Like Krishna, only he can arrange things in a wonderful pastime, in the fashion that he arranges. So no, it is not him that's not making people come to him. It's not him that's doing that. It's people themselves that choose to connect with his material energy that are most unfortunate. And it is our duty now, even that, as devotees, even if we're not pure, still the word, the mantra itself is pure. And so if we teach others to sing, then of course the devotional creeper will be awakened. They sing the glories of the Lord and they chant the holy name of the Lord. Then this will awaken their sleeping, their dormant spiritual condition, and then they will keep now connecting with the right source and hopefully stay there. But it is all on the person's desire and not the Lord himself. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yes, you always have so much of insight and answers. We should really consider ourselves very, very fortunate.
Extremely fortunate.
Krishna's name, and we're connected to this moment. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? But yes, we should consider ourselves extremely fortunate. Any other questions or comments? Hare Krishna?
It was very nice to hear you today morning. For a wonderful class in asking us. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, my Guru Maharaj's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I'm just a tool that they use to preach. At least I look at myself that way. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for presenting such an enlightening
The Pandavas, Vishnis and Pandavas, yeah.
So Pandavas and the Vishnis.
Yes.
And Krishna comes from Vishnu Vansh and Pandavas also.
Mm-hmm.
So how to understand that one side Pandavas are the devotees of the Lord, Vishnis are his external associates. Kunti Maharani, as if saying, Krishna is also from Vishnu. If they are the external associates and Pandavas are the devotees of the Lord, how Kunti Devi is fine? Share my attachment, because as we know that by developing our attachment and reciprocation and exchange with the devotees of the Lord, we develop our love. Our love for Krishna is demonstrated how we get this through our service. Seems little contradiction here.
I understand, Hare Krishna. So, what Maharani Kunti is speaking, so you know that Krishna is in everybody's heart. And the one of the things that happens when pure devotees of the Lord are describing their appreciation for Krishna, their appreciation for devotees, many, many times, somewhere in what they say, they speak in such a way that materialists will also benefit from it. Before we even talk about the answer to this particular question, let's look at back in Kurukshetra, before the war began. So Krishna was answering questions that Arjuna was putting. But Arjuna and Krishna are not an alliance. It's as high as you want to get. But Arjuna was the one asking questions as if he himself was a materialist. So this is a situation where the Lord sometimes has his devotees speaking in such a way as to bring about the point that the material connection should be done away with, at least mentally. So this is what Maharani Kunti is saying. Maharani Kunti, where else could she turn? Her relatives were the Pandavas and, you know, Vrishnishu, Pandasu. So, you know, those were his relatives, her relatives. But then she knows that in the material world, some people connect with relatives, and that's the all in all. My family is it. My country is it. My society is it. I have nothing else, but if I deal with them, then my life is full, my life is fulfilled. And that is obviously the wrong way to look at it if a person's family is actually a material family and not a family of devotees. So Maharani Kunti was saying disconnect from family life. She had no choice but to use her own families, because those were the Pandavas and the Vishnis. And yes, you're right to say that they are devotees and we should connect with devotees, and that's how we love Guru, and from loving Guru we love Krishna. But Maharani Kunti spoke in that way so that we need to understand that the material aspect of connection with family, that has to be given up. And we need to connect with devotees, even if they're family members. The point is, we need to look at them from the point of view of they are devotees first, family members second. Not for some of us, not all our family members are actually devotees of the Lord. Not all of them. Some may be religionists, but then again, Krishna is already saying, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to Him. So, yes, it seems to be a contradiction when Maharani Kunti is saying, disconnect with the family members, because the family members themselves were devoted to Krishna. But actually, what she means here is, one should, in general, focus on serving devotees and serving the Lord, and not focus on the material life as an all in all. But yes, she used the Pandavas and the Vishnis because that's the relative that she had. If she had others that were totally material, maybe she should have gone to them first. But what she had was no Vishnis and Pandavas. But still, she was making the point that everyone should disconnect, at least mentally, from material aspects being the all in all in everything they do with their families. But then they should actually be about devotion and service. So yes, a good question to ask, because the family members were in fact devotees of the Lord. Family members of Kunti were devotees of the Lord. But she said that so that people would not look at the family, the relationship itself as an all in all, but the service to them. And of course, we are always told as grihasthas, those of us who are grihasthas, raise our children in Krishna consciousness. But they are family members. Our children are family members. But raise them in Krishna consciousness. So it's the activity that matters. And if people are thinking materially about family members, only materially, then Maharaj Kunti is saying, get that out. That should not be the way we should live. Hare Krishna. So does that help a little bit, hopefully?
Could I add one perspective into the mind?
Absolutely, yes.
Kunti Devi is telling that to the Yadus and the Pandavas, whatever why that affection.
Yes.
You know, the bond of affection, at least that is correct. Neha Pasham Imam Chindi. That's amazing that Kunti Devi, Krishna is so deeply connected in love bond with the, both the Pandavas and the Vishnu. Krishna is so love bound, and when Kunti is asking, please cut my affinity or affection for them.
Yes.
Very, very amazing. One idea comes that when Bhim Kunti wants that the Krishna be with them all the time, right?
Yes.
That's what she wants. Even in the previous prayer said that now everything is so-called well settled and we got the kingdom, but now you are leaving. So it's a bad deal. Rather, we had nothing, we were just poverty and grief all the time, but you were always around, that was a better deal. She's thinking that Krishna should stay all the time with them. Then Pandavas and we will be all life taken care of. But then she's thinking that if Krishna does not go to Dwarka, the Yadus, they will be bereft or deprived of Krishna. Goes to Dwarka, then they will be deprived. The possibility of that Pandavas may be in trouble or in pain, because then Krishna was always with them. That kind of fix, that kind of dilemma. Maybe is thinking that, if I keep Krishna here, then the Yadus will be deprived of him, and if the Yadus go there, then we will be. So he is thinking, oh my God, what to do? So just cut my affection for both of them.
Yes, yeah, it's important. It's important. That's why I would say it's similar to what Arjuna was also saying. You know, we kill these people, and what about all the relatives, their wives, and all of that? They will be, unwanted children will be born and all of that. So as soon as you think in the terms of the material way to do things, then of course you can come up with all these arguments that as you so nicely explained here. You can come up with those kind of arguments. But it shows that, the love, two things it shows, the love that Maharani Kunti has for Krishna. Okay, and the pinpointedness, that as my spiritual master Bhaktivedanta Maharaj used to say, put nothing before the Lord, put nothing before, that is, make nothing more important than your connection with the Lord. So this is really ultimately what Maharani Kunti is saying. Not even the families, they should be focused on the Lord. So if there's anything that I have that materially connects, remember Kunti is a mother now, that materially connects with the family members, and she's also, from marriage, the Vishnis, and so on. Pandu, and her own material family, the Vishnis. If anything is going to distract me that way, then these family members have no use to me. Therefore, disconnect. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Ultimately, it's the
analogy of the Ganges water flowing without any friction. That one pointed attention in the role for Krishna, that says everything, that is the focus, that is the ultimate aspiration.
Yes.
I don't know. We cannot put anybody above or in front of Krishna.
Yes. That's absolutely. That's what devotees live for. To put Krishna as the object of, everybody lives for that way. That's where our source of happiness is. Hare Krishna. So any other comments, questions? Okay. Shyamashika Mataji? Could you take over from this point? Unless somebody else, anybody can jump in and bring a comment or question, of course. But Mataji, if you want to do that.
Yes, probably.
Does anyone have any question or comment?
One
just small point,
Prabhuji,
can I ask?
Okay. Yes, Hare Krishna, go ahead.
Prayers of Lord Kunti are so deep. You are perfect driver. Even Lord Krishna telling that she is just thinking, oh my God, how many unlimited regions are there for Krishna to appear? She is counting the prayers because you are finishing. One thing just comes to the mind that even Kunti is or maybe you came for this region, came for that region, or came to give your pure devotional service to your lotus feet, right? Or to remove the nations of this material.
Mm.
Actually, Lord Krishna comes in his original form. He actually came because just by hearing the wonderful pastimes of the Lord, material nations and the like Bhavabandhan, you know, that is removed. But unless he comes personally and show his amazing loving pastimes with his eternal associates, the aspiration in us sadhakas to attain that kind of exchange with the Lord, aspire after that kind of thing will not come. In order that we can all aspire to attain that kind of association, how wonderfully loving it is. A person comes and shows develop, he puts to our aspiration.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, as a wonderful addition to this comments. Hare Krishna. So are there any other comments, questions?
Thank you for your kindness.
Hare Krishna. Guru's mercy, Sri Prabhupada's mercy. Yubhishtha Kripa Sinibhya Eva Itita Anam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Jai.
Jai.